I believe that when you're saved, God comes in and the Holy Spirit makes a dwelling in your heart and He fills you up. And when you're saved by God's grace, and there's nothing can separate you from the love of God. But earlier in the week, a thought come to me, and I began to study on it, and then I was got to be around Brother Daniel a little bit Wednesday night, and he mentioned it in a while he was talking once about what you're being filled up with. And I thought, wow, that's what I've been studying on. We're in a time right now, the last year and a half or so, that's been a lot of depression, a lot of doubt, a lot of emptiness. And people, we look for everything to fill those voids, that emptiness. I don't know about y'all. Y'all may not, but they have what we call comfort food. A lot of times when we get depressed, we turn to food. We begin to eat to fill us up. And somehow we think that's going to make us feel better. It's no telling how much weight's been put on in the last year and a half. People quarantined at home, sitting around and having comfort food. There's no telling how many people have took up alcoholism in the last year and a half, looking for comfort and trying to fill a void, an emptiness in them with alcohol. There's no telling how many people have come addicted to drugs and pills in the last year and a half, trying to fill an emptiness, a void inside with something that cannot do it. And the only thing that I've ever been able to find peace and happiness is in is God. Amen. And I believe when you get saved, He comes in and makes a dwelling there. But I do believe, and we can't lose that. Please, nobody get me wrong on this, but I do believe we can get ourselves in a shape that we lose the joy of our salvation. And we begin, Brother Lyon made an analogy this morning, and a whole lot of where my thought is, he talked about a man taking a picture and explaining, filling that picture plumb up and then putting different things in that picture. And the water they filled the picture with represented the Holy Spirit, represented God, and put pride and different things in there, and it starts pushing God out of there. The water starts overflowing. I want you to realize, turning to the things of the world, even food and things like that, will not fill that void and emptiness that we have. If we would just turn to God, turn from our wicked ways and turn to God, I believe He would heal our land. But I want to read from Psalms. I'd clean my glasses, and then the first thing, I grabbed the glass part of it and put my fingerprint right in the middle of it. I want to read from Psalms 81 for our reading lesson, and we'll try to get to where our thought lies here in a little bit. But it says here, this is the Psalms 81 and 8th verse. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel. If thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I give them up unto their own heart lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The hearts of the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. And I want to go over here in Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes and verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I thought about today the things that we are trying to fill, the emptiness that we have in within us, the hurt that we have within us, the fears that we have within us, and we're going after all kinds of things the world has to offer. Once again, we look to comfort foods. We look to alcohol. We look to pills. And I preached on a beer sign here one time, and you say, how can you preach on a beer sign? But I was coming through up here town, and the beer sign said, drinking beer will make you see double and feel single. And I told my wife when I read it, I said, amen. Man, I agreed with it 100%. Because if you don't look for your answers in a bottle, you'll find when you're drinking and you become a drunkard, you'll find the only person you care about is yourself. So it will make you feel single because you won't care about nobody but yourself. And it'll make you see double because the next day your troubles will be twice as many as what they were when you begin to drink. And I want you to realize it don't only go for alcohol, but it'll go for anything that you try to replace God with. I want you to know how you get hooked on pills. How they'll make you feel single and see double. How you get hooked on food. I want you to realize that is a sin. I know I stand before you today, a fat man, but I want you to realize that being overweight is a sin. When you begin to eat and eat and eat and just lust after food, I want you to know you're trying to replace something with God. You're trying to fill yourself. And I know nobody likes hearing that one. Listen, I stand before you knowing I've done it before. Hey, you don't think I ain't dug into the comfort foods? I can tell you one thing right now. The first time I ever ate a chocolate-covered peanut, I was 13 years old. You can look at our pictures when we was kids, and you could tell we was poor. My daddy went and got a job when I was about 13, went to work for GE. And when he went to making some money, next thing you know, he went to bringing home candy and things like that. I can still tell you the first chocolate-covered peanut I ever ate. I loved it. I was trying to fill everything up with it. I could sit down and drink a gallon of milk and a bag of them things. They never done me no good. They might have filled my stomach. But I was lacking something then. I was lost. As lost as I could be. I become lost when I was probably about 11 or 12 years old. I got saved when I was 14. I want you to know when he fills you up, honey, you're full. Amen. But I want you to realize, even as saved people, we get away from God and there becomes starts being an emptiness in us, and we begin to try to fill that with other things. I want you to realize God's people today have got away from the Lord. We've turned to the things of the world. You want to know what their problem is today? That's it. Sin is a problem. It's in the same as when Adam and Eve took of the fruit and their eyes was open, and then I want you to realize nothing has changed since then. We will just continue in sin. We can continue try to fill a void up. I want you to know, has anybody took up shopping? I want you to realize you sat around under quarantine, and next thing you know, you're looking through Amazon, Walmart, you're looking at eBay, you're looking at Bass Pro, you're looking at all of it. I want you to know you buy junk trying to fill a void. You're looking for things to try to fill. You think if I get this car right here, I know that's gonna take care of it. Oh, if I could just have that house sitting over on a hill and I had that $2,000 payment I couldn't make, it would just fill that void. I'd feel good. I want you to realize that's the things we're trying to fill up with. And that's the reason why we're in the shape we're in today. We're trying to fill up with everything, but there's no room for God. I preached out of these scriptures I don't know how many times, and you say, well, you're going to do it again. Amen, I am. The book of Ruth. There had come a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. The first chapter, the first verse, you'll find that. There had become a famine there, and had that Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, and their two sons. I left Bethlehem, Judah, because of famine. And famine just means hunger. If you look up the definition, you'll find hunger. I want you to realize they began to get hungry. And they was looking for a place to go that they might get fed. I want you to realize they ended up going down to a place called Moab, and where the Moabites was. And their sons, they ended up by married women there. One named Orpah, one named Ruth. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And then their two sons died. I want you to realize that Naomi turned and went back to Bethlehem, Judah, where she was from. She'd heard the famine was over. Listen, and both the daughters at first wanted to go back with her, but one turned went back to her family, Orpah did, but the other went with Naomi. And what I want us to get a hold of today is when she returned, and something I'd seen over and over. I've read this book, I dare to say 100 times at least, but I've never paid attention to this. I've never got a grasp on it like he showed me the other day. And I want you to realize, I want you to get a hold of it today. I want us to understand something today. Himself said so. Ruth ends up going back with Naomi. She said, your God will be my God. And so she went back with her. And so the two of them, then the 19th verse, remember now, there was a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. So the two of them went until they came into Bethlehem. And it came to pass, they were coming to Bethlehem, that all the city moved about them. And they said, is it Naomi? They asked a question. I want you to realize they asked a question as if almost they didn't remember her. It seems this woman had changed. She'd been through some things. They began to ask. They said, is that Naomi? You ever seen anybody come into church? You ain't seen him 15 to 20 years. And the first thing everybody says, is that Bill? I didn't hardly recognize him. I want you to know this woman had been through something. And it changed her, not just in age. She'd went through some things. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt bitterly with me. And that's all Mara means, is bitter. And I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord have testified against me, and the Almighty have afflicted me? I want you to know what I noticed in that. I noticed, read it over and over. She said, I went out full, but I came back empty. She left a land where the famine was, where there was hunger. I want you to realize how they were starving to death. But this woman said she left full, but she was coming back empty. And you say, well, it's just because she lost her husband and her two sons. Yes, that no doubt might have been part of it. But I want you to know she left a place where God had dwelt at, and she went to a land where the Gentiles, a place they was not to have nothing to do with. They was supposed to not marry their sons and daughters. I want you to know she went against God to be filled up with the things of this world, and she left full. She left serving God full, and she come back empty. I want you to realize, have we not went to Moab? Have we not a few years ago
ago, it seemed like we began to have trouble in our churches, and we started separating. We started looking for different things. I want you to realize we all have went down to Moab and went to trying to fill up. And you know something we have. We filled up with all the things that we ain't supposed to. We filled up with anger. We filled up with greed. We filled up with alcohol. We filled up with drugs. We filled up with material things, cars, houses, all the things that we all want and desire. We've all went out full, and we've come back, and now we're empty. And we're thinking, what's going on? Why is these things happening all around us? Listen to me. God may not be making them happen. I don't believe God took him a lick or the sons, but I want you to realize, honey, there was a price to be paid when we sin. And I want you to know, God, I take the hedge down and let things come around about us. And I want you to know we've been seeing that now for a year and a half or so. We see it all around us, and everybody's looking to fill up with everything. And what did he say? Open your mouth, and I'll fill you up. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be full. We don't hunger for it no more. Like we come to church on Sunday, and if all they ever seen us, Teresa, was at church on Sunday, they think, boy, we hunger for it more than anybody. We look pretty good on Sunday, for the most part, maybe till we leave, till we get back Sunday night. But what will we look like tomorrow? What is people supposed to see? The prodigal son, you look at it, lost or saved, I think it's a beautiful picture. Somebody getting saved, I also think it's a beautiful picture. Somebody, or it ain't beautiful, but a picture just like Naomi that went out and went to searching. He said, Father, give me my inheritance. Give me what's coming to me. And his father gave it to him. And he went out and he spent it on what was the word? It ain't righteous, but it's right the opposite. Just wicked. He went out and blew it. He went out and partied it up. He went out and tried to fill up with everything the world had to offer. This young man finds himself broke, just like Naomi. He finds himself with nothing, just like Naomi. And then when he gets down to where he's eating with the hogs and he ain't got nothing left, just like Naomi, guess what? He decides then it's time to return to the Father's house. I want you to realize how much is it going to take us to realize we need to come out of Moab. Where are we going to get to the point that we're going to realize that we're so empty? We're needing God more than anything this world has to offer. When we're broke and we're doubled down, eating with the hogs. What's it going to take? You know when he got back, what the Father done? He run and man even opened his arms. He said, get a white robe, get a ring in the shoes, kill the fatted calf. Oh, my son, which was lost, now it's found. I want you to realize God is waiting for us to come back. He's never went nowhere. We're trying to fill up on everything in the world. Our jobs, our homes, our cars, our toys, our pills, our alcohol, our food even. Open your mouth. He said, I'll fill you up.
Amen.
We're looking for comfort in everything but where it's at. And that's God. And he's not only waiting for us, he's wanting to meet us.
Amen.
He's wanting to meet us halfway. Yeah. So Naomi had a near kinsman, two of them, matter of fact. It was the law that if the husband died, there was one, the near kinsman would bury them to keep the husband's name alive. There was one named Boaz, Ruth. She went and gleaned behind him. Y'all heard me talk about this time, different times. She gleaned behind the reapers. There was another one was more kin, but because he was going to lose a little pride, a little his inheritance, he didn't want her. If he took her and married that Gentile, he would have lost his inheritance, so he wouldn't go to take her. So he allowed Boaz to buy her and purchase her to become his wife. So this woman had left full in a land of famine. Mm-hmm. Not a land of plenty. In a land of famine. She left full and went somewhere where she could eat it up and come back empty. So Boaz has married Ruth. The Bible says Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception. And she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. What? That his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher in thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And listen to what it says. This woman had left full, she'd come back empty. And it said, Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom. And became a nurse unto it. And the women of her, and the women and her neighbors gave it a name. They named it, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed, and his father of Jesse, and the father of David. I want you to know she took this little baby, and she laid it in her arms, and she took it up to her breast. I want you to know, as God of heaven, when she returned where she supposed to be, filled her back up. This woman there in Bethlehem, Judea, held the baby in her arms, whose son, a great grandson, would be the king of Israel. And who from the loins of that king come our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Just as Mary in Bethlehem, Judah, held the Savior, she held this baby. You don't think she didn't feel, God didn't fill her up when she got to the point she had nowhere else to go but him. She went to him and he took care of her.
Amen.
Obed, the name simply means servant. You know what Jesus said? He asked his disciples after they was trying to figure out who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. He said, who is greater? He that sits at meat or he that serves? You know what they said? They said, he that sits at meat. And he said, you have rightly answered. But he said, I have come to serve. They named that child Obed, a servant. And I want you to know from that come the greatest servant this world's ever known.
her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may not have done it. You may, a lot of y'all are better than me. I got saved as a 14-year-old boy, and the next thing I know, I headed right straight to Moab. I got my ticket, ain't that right? Ain't that what we always say? We got our ticket. I punched my ticket. Next thing I know, I was over in Moab. I was looking for all the things of the world to make me happy. Today, if I still ain't careful, I've got chainsaws hanging all around that shop out there. I think, boy, if I had that chainsaw. Jason brought one over here a while back, my nephew. It was an old steel chainsaw, and I thought, boy, if I had that right there in my collection, that would make me pretty happy. I said, you wouldn't sell that, would you? He said, I don't reckon I want to keep it. Boy, I just know that would just fill everything up. I'd feel good then. Old junky chainsaw. What are you trying to fill up with? What are you filling your emptiness with? You're saying, open your mouth. I'll fill you up. I'll give you, if you'll pray believing.
Amen.
There won't be nothing you can't have. But you know what you'll end up wanting? If you really true pray believing, you'll just want to be closer to Him.
Amen.
If you're truly praying, that's what you want. Because all this other stuff won't matter. The Apostle Paul, and I'm fixing to hush, he said it this in Romans chapter 15. You can find that part about Ruth, we read in the fourth chapter, over at the last part of the fourth chapter of Ruth. In the 12th verse, it says, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse. Jesus is a root out of dry ground. Out of Jesse, the son of Obed, the father of David. And he shall rise and to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. He's talking to saved people here. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The God of hope, the God of confidence, fill you with all joy, peace and believing. What did I say her cup gets filled with? Her cup gets filled. Jesus said, Lord, if it be in thy will, remove this cup from me. He knew what his cup was going to be filled with. His cup was going to be filled with the sins of the world. But our cup gets filled with mercy, grace.
Amen.
What did David say in the Psalms 23? My cup runneth over.
Amen.
Our cup gets to be filled with grace, mercy, and love. Y'all pray for me that I'll quit looking for things of this world to fill my emptiness up. If you're here today and you're lost, the only thing will ever fill that void you have is God.
Amen.
If you're here today and you've been saved for a long time and you're depressed, has anybody been depressed in the last year and a half? Anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to blow the horn. Has anybody got depressed? Have any of y'all felt empty? Have you? Have you tried to fill it with some food, a comfort food? Have you tried to fill it with alcohol? Maybe a a nerve peel? Have you tried to fill it by going to Amazon more than you ought to? Walmart more than you should? The kids here think me and my wife work at Walmart. They see us there so much, walking around up there, just looking, you know, just looking. Have you tried to fill it with all the things that Moab has to offer? And then you find yourself just being more empty all the time. Won't you try God?
Amen.
Try God. Don't you think it's time that we get out of Moab? Open our mouth and let him fill us up. He was talking about the children that was wandering around over in the wilderness. That's where we're wandering around in the wilderness. They kept wanting to turn back, go back to bondage in Egypt. There's nothing to turn back to. He rained down manna from heaven to fill them up. He gave them water from the rock. He'll give us everything we stand in need of, and he will fill us up. That's my little message. I hope somebody got something out of it. And if you leave here mad at me today, then you can stand and look at me and tell I've been full of bad habits. I ain't here preaching to you. I'm here preaching to us. The Word of God is a two-edged sword.
Amen.
And I began to study on this week. It cut me all to pieces. It cut me. It was cutting both ways. And I've seen all my failures. And I pray I won't be as a man that looks in a glass and forget what I look like.
Amen.
But I look at the perfect law of liberty and let it show me my faults. And not go away and forget what a manner of man I am. Thank you for listening to me.
Amen.
If you're here today and you're lost, this altar is open. He wants to open your mouth.
Amen.
And he'll fill you up.
Amen.
Open your mouth. He'll fill you up. Church, open up. He'll fill you up. Go ahead and be something.